What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a quick one for you today. The Dubs are taking on the New York Knicks tonight at Oracle, 7:30. Be there. Got some matchup questions about that. Gonna stay away from some other stuff about it. And some funny things coming out in the news recently about the Warriors. Have to do with Matt Barnes, Alphonso McKinney, and Austin Rivers ran his mouth. That's all coming up next. You're on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? A little bit of news going on in the Warriors. News is strong. Some funny things. Some tidbits. Some fiddle faddle. Some, I don't know. I can't think of another funny term. Damn it. Little things going on in the world of the Golden State Warriors. Taking on the Knicks tonight. Not the most exciting game in the world, as we all know. The Knicks are, well, I think they're 10-30, to be exact. So they're having a rough year in contention for that top pick. The, dying for Zion? What other stupid terms and rhymes have people come up with for how to get Zion Williamson? So anyways, Warriors taking on the Knicks. Warriors are a 16.5-point favorite. I mean, there's only so much I can say. The good thing about this game and Friday's game is the Warriors have lost three in a row at home. What was it? Lakers, Trailblazers, and Rockets. And the worst part is that Trailblazers-Rockets, those games, the Warriors gave away late. Should have been wins. Lakers, you know what? Warriors, you got your ass kicked. It happens. But the Blazers and Rockets games should have won. Warriors should have won. They didn't. Oh, well. So the good thing is with these two home games against the Knicks and the Bulls is it should get the Warriors two straight home wins. It should. I would almost guarantee it, but with the Warriors, you know, who knows? They may just show up and not want to play one day. They've done that. But tonight, I think they'll be motivated, especially with the whole KD New York bullshit. But New York does have a couple of players who have bothered the Warriors, especially on the court and off the court. Enes Kanter is super annoying. He has his deficiencies defensively. Like, you attack him defensively, obviously. But offensively, he's a load. He's a handful. And as we've seen with the Warriors, they struggle against big centers. And Enes Kanter will probably get his numbers tonight, most likely, because he's another center that can get it done. And, you know, when the Warriors have basically guys the size of a small forward playing center, they get beat up a little bit. And that's probably what's going to happen. Kevin Knox has been an exciting rookie. Still a rookie, still a ton to work on. He's not a finished product, but he's exciting for the Knicks. Tim Hardaway Jr. can light it up. He can also, you know, he can shoot you into a game and shoot you out of a game. So it's, you know, look at me trying to turn it into something here. I don't know. Warriors should win by a million, really. Things I'm looking for tonight would be Alphonso McKinney. Hopefully he can get a little more playing time. I feel like a broken record, but the kid deserves it. He absolutely does. Quinn Cook, I would assume he'll get a little more playing time with the idea that, you know, some of the fringe players will play more. See how they can do. Quinn's been hot recently, and it's been great. And I hope that maybe it will continue to expand his role with the Warriors and in the rotation. But we'll see. If not, and he continues playing this well in his role, his limited time, that's great. That's perfect. Sean Livingston is still out tonight. Sore knee, day-to-day. We'll see how it ends up working, how, you know, when he comes back. But not a major thing, but definitely something to just keep an eye on. So he will be out. So that's another reason why Quinn and Alphonso McKinney should probably get a little extra PT tonight. And I want to stay away from the KD stuff, the KD Knicks stuff, because there's nothing there. There's nothing substantial there besides a bunch of talking heads talking about it. But I am interested to see, does KD go off tonight? Especially after Walt, Clyde Frazier, said a bunch of stupid this summer about Kevin Durant, about having an asterisk next to his name for joining the Warriors and, you know, joining the Knicks would really elevate him and all that stupid BS. So it'll be interesting to see. Does KD go off? Do the Warriors defer to him? We've seen it during certain games, like the first times they played OKC. Well, pretty much every time they play OKC, they're like, Kevin, go ahead. Get yours. So that's something I'm looking for. Not that it means anything, but it'll just be interesting to see. So as far as tonight's game go, nothing too crazy, nothing too exciting. Pretty standard January game against a 10-30 team. Warriors should smack them, and I'm looking forward to it. No word yet on DeMarcus Cousins, but probably not playing tonight. As I said, my reckless speculation guess says he plays Friday against the Bulls, but again, I have nothing to back that up other than me just being hella smart, you know? No, we'll see, but that's my guess. He'll be playing Friday, not tonight, but if he plays tonight, that'd be dope too. So we'll see. So yeah, I mean, that's about all I got on the Knicks, man. They're not very good. Warriors are. Check it out. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? So just talked about the Warriors-Knicks game tonight, and, you know, kind of boring, but it's a Warriors game, so still exciting enough that you got something to watch. But one of my all-time favorite players, Matt Barnes, was asked recently about the Warriors and if he has any concerns about them moving forward. And yeah, I love Matt Barnes. I just said it, man. It's my guy. But he said, and I don't agree with this, but here's what Matt Barnes had to say about the Warriors and as far as any concerns moving forward. He said, if I have one concern, it's that their bench hasn't been as strong as it's been in the past. So these guys really have to figure out on the fly where they can be the most effective at. I think it's time for these young guys to really start to step up and find their place on the team. I understand the sentiment, I guess. I disagree, though. I think this team is deeper than it's been in a while, except for at one position, and that's the center spot, obviously, which hopefully will get fixed when DeMarcus Cousins comes back, and then a potential buyout candidate or a trade out there. They definitely want to address the center position. But if you ask me at other positions, at the wing, at the four, point guard, shooting guard, whatever, I think they're deeper than they've been in a while, at least as far as scoring goes. Quinn Cook can light it up. He's the best shooter they've had coming off the bench since, I don't know, Mo Spates, honestly. And shout out Mo. How is Mo not still in the league? How is he not on the Warriors right now, knocking down threes? We'll get to that another time. But shout out Mo Buckets. But Quinn Cook, best shooter they've had since Mo, probably. Definitely an upgrade to Ian Clark. Love Ian Clark, but sorry, Quinn Cook is better. Alphonso McKinney, best backup wing they've had since I can't even remember. And we're talking about past Sean and Andre. Sean and Andre have been here the whole time. Best shooting wing they've had since, I don't know, give me an example. You guys, if you think I'm wrong, hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415. Who has been better than Alphonso McKinney and Quinn Cook coming off the bench for the Warriors? And part of the problem with, well, you know what, I'll get to that in a second. Jonas Jerebko. Best backup four they've had since, I don't know, Mo Spates, but Mo basically only played the five because he's Mo, because of his defensive deficiencies. So I disagree, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that they're not as deep as before. I think they're deeper than ever. The main problems with the Warriors this season have been the fact that two superstars have played like role players, and that's Klay and Draymond. And they're getting better. They're coming back to what they should be and playing how they should and getting back to close to that superstar level. But that's been the biggest problem so far. And then the center depth, that's a real thing. If you want to say they're not as deep at center, sure, absolutely, that is valid and correct, and that's something they need to address. But if you ask me at the wing spots, forward spots, I think they're fine. I think they're better than before. I mean, we're talking Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Quinn Cook, Alphonso McKinney, Jonas Jerebko. Jordan Bell's coming off the bench. But once DeMarcus comes back, that'll be Kevon Looney, which will help. And DeMarcus coming back, he'll also be playing with that second unit. One thing I was surprised to see, though, was in 2014-15, the bench actually ranked ninth in bench scoring, which I could have fooled me. I never remember the bench being that great, but I guess it was. I don't know. I'm not as worried about the depth as other people are. The two other problems as far as the depth is concerned is they whiffed on Jacob Evans. They're going to get nothing from him this year, which is incredibly upsetting, especially how arrogant they were about the fact they'd find someone that can contribute. And there's a number of contributors that got drafted after Jacob Evans. You've heard me say it a bunch. I'm going to try and get over it. Probably never will be able to. So the fact that they're getting nothing from Jacob Evans, that hurts. Damian Jones' injury, that hurts. So right now they're down to 11 active players because they only have 14 roster spots. Three of them are injured or not contributing. So that hurts the depth. So if you want to say that, I don't know, they don't have as many, if like 11 through 14 or 11 through 15, 12 through 15 aren't as strong as they were 4 years ago, sure. But that's mostly because they've all been injured or a bad draft pick. But I think the players that they have are better than the ones they've had before. So that's where I'm at. Shout out Matt Barnes, still my guy. Speaking of Alphonso McKinney, as I mentioned, congrats to him yesterday. His salary for this season became guaranteed. Roster spot basically guaranteed. I mean, he can still be traded or moved or whatever, but he is not going to be. He is a Warrior. The $1.4 million, I believe it is guaranteed for him for this year. And he was asked today about how he found out about the fact that it's official and he's a Warrior and has a guaranteed contract. And here's what McKinney had to say. Once it was official, a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I was here. I had an appearance to do yesterday. I was playing horse with this little kid, and I was on Twitter and saw Slater, Anthony Slater, beat writer for The Athletic, tweeted it out, and that's kind of how he found out. No Bob Myers or Steve or anyone, which is funny on both sides because it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it would make sense to make a deal of it and go get him and tell him. Or at the same time, it's business as usual. You've been great. You should know. You know, that's business as usual for us. You've been good enough to stick around and you're sticking around. Either way, I thought it was a, you know, funny little story and good for Alphonso. Incredibly happy for him and for the Warriors because you've heard me talk about how important it is for this team that is so top heavy, not only in talent, but in salary, that they have to hit on undrafted free agents. They have to hit on their draft picks. They have to hit on the edges, on the margins, because they're not going to be able to go out and sign any free agents for anything more than either that taxpayer mid-level or the minimum. And neither of those are that enticing. You know, you can get a Jonas Jerebko, you can get a DeMarcus Cousins for 30 plus games for $5 million, you know, circumstances. But for the Warriors, it's incredibly important to hit on draft picks who have low salaries, low controlled salaries, on undrafted free agents who are only making 1.3, 1.5 over the next 2 years, like Alphonso McKinney is, Quinn Cook. That's why the Jacob Evans hurts. That's why the Damian Jones hurts. His injury hurts more. But the fact that not getting much out of him, the fact they couldn't buy a second round pick this last draft hurts. So it's important that they hit on these players, and it's good that they did hit with Alphonso McKinney. It's good that he's guaranteed for this year. Next year is still non-guaranteed, but barring anything drastic, he's going to be a Warrior for at least through next season, if you ask me. One last thing that came out today that I don't know who was asking for it. Another Austin Rivers article comes out today. For some reason, people are dying for these Austin Rivers exposés and how's he going through the NBA and blah, blah, blah. And it was brought up the similarities of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, that they, you know, are sons of former NBA players and this and that. And Austin Rivers basically said, it's harder for me because their dads aren't involved in the NBA anymore. Well, you know, they kind of are. They're both analysts for two different NBA teams. Genius. But that's not why it's harder for you, Austin. It's harder because you're not as good as them. It's harder because your daddy traded for you and then gave you a contract and overpaid you. It's harder because your daddy shielded you for a bunch of subpar years in LA because you got traded from numerous different teams for being entitled. So, you know, I don't know, man. Congrats on another expose. I think we've hit our quota on Austin Rivers articles for a lifetime. So, good. He's a good signing in Houston. Probably a good fit for him. All that stuff. But I think we've heard enough from Austin for a while, okay? We're good. Anyways, this is Locked On Warriors. Coming up next, another little piece of news that came out of Warriors practice today. Steve Kerr, even though Steph had the 42 points, had some serious praise for Kevin Durant in that last game against the Kings. And also some league pass picks and maybe another thing or two on the Dubs. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what up? As I mentioned before we went to break, head coach Steve Kerr, was talking about this last game against the Kings and just said it was wild and blah, 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 blah. And he basically said that even though Steph, you know, was incredible, had the 42 points, that KD was the key to the victory for the Warriors. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say. It's kind of a long one, but here's what Steve Kerr had to say. I thought Kevin Durant was the key to the game the other night. Even though Steph had 42 points and had a lot of highlights, I thought Kevin played a brilliant game from that point forward role that he plays. He had one turnover, and even that was a little flukish. The ball slipped out of his hands when he was going up for a jump shot. His decision-making was brilliant. He kept making the simple play over and over again, getting us wide-open shots. He defended, had a key block on a jump shot that led to a fast break. It was a big bucket for us. I thought it was one of his best all-around games of the year, and I just think that when he plays that way, when he impacts the whole game, that's when we're at our best. And Steve was, look, he's right. Those 9 assists got overlooked because of Steph's incredible day. But KD, I mentioned it in the yesterday's podcast, going over the Kings game, that he was making that simple decision. He was going from good shot to great shot. You know, he got in the corner for a three that was open enough. As they're closing out, kicks it to Klay, who's so open, he dribble, reset, read the newspaper as he does, take Rocco for a walk, and then put up the three. KD had a monster game. The only thing I would say, and not that Steve Kerr should come out and badmouth him while he's praising him, defensively, KD was a little rough. Defensively, KD would help off Buddy Hield. He would help off sometimes off of shooters onto non-shooters and just things like that. But again, that's nitpicking when a guy has the game that KD had of 29 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks. That's nitpicking, but it is something that was there also. KD did have a monster game, and the way he played too was great because he also at times played that David West role, getting in that elbow post and let the offense work off of him, work around him, and he was finding open shooters, he was finding Klay, he was finding Steph. It was a great game for him. Finding Quinn too, because Quinn's knocking down threes. Don't you forget that. League pass picks for this evening. It's a fine night. It's not great. There's 8 games. A lot of lopsided games, like the Pacers at Cavs. Like, I like watching the Pacers, so you can watch the Pacers and enjoy that, but they'll probably stomp them. Wizards at 76ers. I need to get over the name of the Wizards and realize they're still not good, because Philly will probably stomp them. Denver at Miami could be a good one, but the thing with Miami is, even though they're solid, and have a solid record, they have a tendency to get smacked, to get beat down pretty bad. Denver's 26-12, Miami 19-19. So probably stay away from that one. How about Minnesota OKC? That's the one I'm going to go with. Minnesota, first game since Tibbs got fired. Let's see if there's any, I don't know, lagging effects. Either way, we're going to blame it on Tibbs being fired. If they come out and smash OKC, we're going to say, well, look at them now. They're motivated. If they come out and get smashed by OKC, you know, they just, it's tough for them without Tibbs. And then Charlotte Hornets versus the Clippers, I think is the other one I'm going to go with. Pretty evenly matched teams. Charlotte is 19-20. Clippers 23-16. Clippers are kind of coming back to earth a little bit. They're good. We'll probably be somewhere in the bottom half of the playoffs, you know, somewhere between that 5-8 seed. Charlotte, they're fighting for it, and I'm sure they'll make it. Kemba Walker has been awesome and a ton of fun to watch. But what do you do with him? Are you going to hang on to him? Are you going to move him? Are you going to just let him walk? I don't know. Those are all questions that won't be answered before tonight's game or during tonight's game, so it doesn't matter. But those are my two picks, Charlotte Clippers and then T-Wolves Thunder. And I'm going to throw this one out there too, just because I'm a sucker for Phoenix Suns, which is so stupid. They've been so bad, and I'm such an idiot, but it's Sacramento Kings, Phoenix Suns. And basically, I thought the Suns were going to have the year that the Kings are having. Sacramento 20-20. If they win tonight, they will be over 500 halfway through the season for the first time in, I don't even know. Tell me it's been 40 years and I'll believe you. Phoenix, really bad this year, but I am interested. Most times they take the court because they do have a lot of talent. Devin Booker's playing tonight. So we'll see. Can they make it a game or not? I don't know. But that's not one of the official picks. It's T-Wolves Thunder and Charlotte Clippers. Check those out. And I will be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.